Welcome to the Busy Signal. My name is Jim, and this is my retrostalgic 80s, 90s, and early 2000s podcast. This show aims to salute all the stuff from back in the day that is either now extinct or quickly going that way. 14 episodes in, and we have covered a lot of stuff. Unlocked some memory deep cuts and dug into our nostalgic senses with a sound tour. We've barely scratched the surfaces of our retrostalgic podcast journey, by the way. There's loads more to cover, and episodes that deserve a part two and possibly part three coming up in the future. And I have a feeling that this episode is going to be one of those that deserves a part two, part three, maybe a part four, honestly. And this episode, if you haven't already gathered from the title, is all about board games. And this topic is nostalgic in one way or another for everyone. And it's also kind of relative for everyone in one way or another, because everybody has had an experience playing board games, but we haven't all had the same experiences playing the same board games. My favorite board game might be one you've never even heard of, or one that you absolutely detest. Your favorite board game might be one that's not really my favorite, or I've never even heard of it. And that's kind of fun too, because then we learn about new games. Oh, let me try that one. Oh yeah, I'll go look that one up. Let me check it out. Absolutely. I've been over people's houses and we're playing board games and they pull some board game out and I've never seen it in my life. And they're like, oh, I've been playing this since I was a kid. And I'm like, wow, really? Now I'm going out and buying one too. Board games are cool. And like I said, as kids, we've all encountered board games. Some really awesome ones, some really lame ones, and some really weird ones too. And here with me today to talk about our favorite board games, maybe our least favorite board games, is a very good friend of mine, going back all the way to maybe the early mid-90s. New friend to the show, George. And George, welcome to the podcast. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jim?
Good. I have known you, I want to say going back to the early to mid-90s, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Awesome. So we've got a good relationship. We've known each other for quite a while, and we are going to be digging into our favorite board games. We have our own lists of board games. George, you have a list of board games, right?
Yep. I got a very extensive list of games I played growing up.
I have a list of board games, and you do not know the list that I have, nor do I know the list that you have.
I know. This is exciting. We're going to play a game about the games we played as a kid.
That's fun. I'm all about this. Now, did you stick to games that you typically just played as a child, or did you kind of branch out a little bit?
Most of my games were games I played growing up. I spent a lot of time by myself as a kid, so I spent a lot of time playing games, inventing games. Even as an adult, I'm a big game player. I play games with my kids now, so I love all types of games, and my list has games of all different types growing up.
Awesome. Yeah, I kind of stuck to, for this, because I think this is going to be a multi-part episode. I think we're going to have to revisit board games again. So I pretty much stuck to, for this round, games that I knew as a child. And the word board game is a little loose at times, just a little bit for me.
Oh, definitely for me too.
But I think it's going to be very of the time when I was a child. So we'll see if you came up with the same ones that I came up with.
Yeah, I imagine we probably got some crossover here. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to getting into this.
So here we go. We are going to dig into these board games one at a time. George, you're going to be going first.
All right. So for my first pick, and these were a huge part of my childhood, I had family that lived down south. So we would take these 10, 14-hour car trips, and I'm not much of a reader. So Tiger handheld games are number one on my list. And if you remember these games, they were these battery-operated handheld games. This is pre-Game Boy. There was football and bowling, gauntlet. There was this crazy game where this cat chased you around, and you every time you picked up cheese, you were a mouse. Every time you picked up cheese, you could go through walls and stuff like that. Double Dragon, I beat that one like 28 times.
Some people will do anything to take their favorite video games everywhere they go. But now Tiger gives you all the fun and excitement of your favorite arcade game in the palm of your hand. Games like Double Dragon, jump, kick, and fight your way through four missions to defeat the big boss and save Marion to win. Also coming soon from Tiger, Karnoff, Gauntlet, Jordan Bird, Simon's Quest, and more.
Each sold separately. Batteries not included. It's a grand toy.
And I would play these games nonstop in the car. I would, in fact, I would pack extra AA batteries because I would literally play these games until they died. I pop out the batteries. I put new batteries in. I just keep on playing. These games were foundational to my childhood. I think you might know what I'm talking about with these games. Have you ever played these, Jim?
Tiger handheld games were a way of life. They're not board games per se, but man, you don't always have somebody to play with. So I had Double Dragon because I loved Double Dragon, the arcade game. I loved Double Dragon, the NES game. So I absolutely had Double Dragon. That's a very visceral memory for me. I can feel the Double Dragon power of Tiger Electronic Games in my hand. I also had a very unique one, which was Bo Jackson, because at the time, Bo Jackson was a huge sports star, football and baseball. Bo knows both. So I had the Bo Jackson Tiger Electronic game that had two games on it. It had two game pads, one at the top and one at the bottom. So if you were playing one side, it was baseball. Then you'd flip it upside down and that same screen would be used to play football. It was really cool.
Yes, I remember that one. That was awesome. It's funny, my dad gave me a box of stuff that they got out of the basement, and in there was an unopened Simon's Quest Tiger game. I was like, man, I'm putting this guy up on eBay and see what I can get for it. But yeah, they were important to me, and they passed a lot of time in the car because we didn't have the Game Boy. We didn't have, a TV entertainment system built into our caravan. You had to figure out a way to entertain yourself. And they were a big part of that story for me.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Before the Game Boy, before all that kind of stuff, before the Sega Game Gear, Tiger Electronics, man, they were clutch if you were going on a long car ride, that's for sure.
Yeah. In fact, they're even making a comeback. I was in GameStop and they had an updated version, I believe. It was X-Men, and they had a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers one that came out in the early 2020s.
Really? So they're actually making new ones? Like,
I believe so.
I did see a year ago around Christmas time that they had re-released previous one that they had made back in the day. It was a Transformers handheld game. It was like Gen 2 Transformers. And of course, it took everything in me to not spend that money right then and there.
Absolutely.
So awesome. All right. So Tiger handheld electronic games, they go on the list. They are definitely worthy of the list. Awesome. So for my game, I went more of a traditional kind of traditional board game, not so much in that there's like, it's not turn-based really. And it's not like spaces on the board. It has a board, it has pieces, but it's kind of like Controlled Chaos. I went Hungry Hungry Hippos. I loved Hungry Hungry Hippos. Now, technically, it was released in 1978, so it's a little bit outside our wheelhouse, but obviously 1978 is just as good as the 80s because that's when it blew up. And 2 to 4 players, honestly, it wasn't really that much fun if you were playing it by yourself. So 2 to 4 players, a ton of marbles go in the middle, and you are just smacking the rear ends of these hippos, and their heads jutting out. Their mouths are open. And the goal is to what? Swallow as many marbles as possible. And then when the marbles are gone, that's it. Who's got the most? Done. Simple.
Hungry, hungry hippo.
Open up and there it goes.
It's the
race.
It's the chase. Hurry up and feed their face.
Who will win?
No one knows.
Feed the hungry hippo.
Now that's right.
Here's the place. Get the marbles.
Race, race, race.
Hungry, hungry hippo.
Open up and there it goes.
It's hungry, hungry hippos. And whoever gets the most marbles wins.
It's the race.
It's the chase.
Hurry up and feed their face.
Who will win?
No one knows.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
Open up and there it goes.
I win.
Hungry, hungry hippos from Milton Bradley.
And that's kind of it. It's kind of like 30 seconds of anarchy and elation. And then afterwards, it's like, let's do it again. Let's do it again until you're bored, really. Did you have Hungry, Hungry Hippos? What is your experience?
Oh, absolutely. Hungry, Hungry Hippos felt like the pixie stick of games. Like it's 30 seconds of just button mashing, trying to get as many marbles as you can. There's not really any strategy to it, but man, is it fulfilling. You could play with adults, you could play with kids. I love that game.
It is a great game. Now, did you know that, and I didn't like to do research, but sometimes I just do. And I've learned Did you know that the hippos have names?
No, I didn't know that.
So the pink one, that one's name is Happy. The orange one, his name is Henry. Green is Homer. And yellow is Harry. So Happy, Henry, Homer, and Harry, hippo. That was their names. And I think later versions, they had different colors. They also had different names. But it's funny that you mentioned that it's basically pure button mashing and there's not much kind of like a strategy to it. I thought the same thing. However, since 2015, there are now Hungry Hungry Hippo tournaments and it's held at the Indiana Convention Center. And I'd love to see what kind of strategy people use for these tournaments.
This is what's great about the world we live in. There are professionals at everything. I mean, you think of something, there are people who are the best in the world at it. I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. No doubt. Hungry Hungry Hippos, that is my first on the list. Mark it in the books. What do you got next?
All right, so my second one here, I'm going to go with a sort of traditional board game. It's a board game in as much as it was on a board, but I love this game. I played it all the time. It is a game called Fireball Island. Now, you guys, you know the iconic opening scene from Indiana Jones where Indy is going and he's getting the golden idol head and he's leaving and the giant ball is rolling after him. It's one of the most exciting moments in movie history. They basically made a board game out of that moment called Fireball Island. And the gist of the game is that you're making your way up to around the board. And then in the center of the board, up on this raised part, is this idol head that shoots fireballs down the board. And if your piece is in the way, the fireball takes you out. I love this thing. I loved watching this marble come down and knock you out. It's just this board game experience that was different than playing Monopoly or different than playing Sorry or something like that, where you're just moving around the board. You're moving around the board. You're watching your opponents, but you also always got to be aware because this giant fireball is coming after you the whole time. I love this game. I would play it by myself. When friends came over, I would play it. It was awesome.
I don't remember that game necessarily as much as I actually think you unlocked a memory as far as the commercial for it goes. I feel like I can see the commercial and it's a very exciting commercial as was, you know, the actual event in the movie.
Danger lurks on Fireball Island. More than a mere board game, it's a three-dimensional adventure. Your quest, the idol's jewel.
Cowards, I'll go first.
A shortcut.
But it's not so easy. Mountains and chasms stand in your way.
Yes.
And beware, your foes are out to stop you with thundering fireballs.
Oh, stubborn.
And collapsing bridges.
Oh, no.
Got it.
Oh, dog me.
And you don't win till you're off Fireball Island, the three-dimensional adventure from Milton Bradley.
Yes, this game was great. 12-year-old George absolutely loved this game.
So Fire Island. Put it in the list. That's cool. I never had it. Now I kind of want to go out and play it. I wonder how much they're selling for on eBay. So, all right.
Etsy has it. So.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Pop-O-Matic Trouble. I have a very love-hate relationship with this game. I love it more than I hate it. But it was a game that kind of goes back to the 1960s. But I just remember being a kid in the 80s. And I remember the commercials from the 80s. And I wanted that game. My parents got me that game.
I give you trouble.
You can pop a lot of trouble on the Pop-O-Matic bubble.
Trouble, trouble.
I give you trouble.
Pop your piece around the track. If you get hit, you get to bat.
Trouble, trouble.
I give you trouble.
It's the Pop-O-Matic crazy chase to get yourself up to home.
Trouble, trouble.
I'll give you trouble.
You can pop a lot of trouble on the Pop-O-Matic bubble. Game of Trouble.
Trouble, a Pop-O-Matic game from Milton Bradley.
It was all one piece, which was cool, except for the game pieces. But the board was encapsulated in plastic and it had little cups for spaces to go around with your cylindrical pieces. And the way you rolled dice was in the middle. It had this little clear eggshell that you would press down and pop would go the dice. And that would dictate how many spaces you could move around the board, except you needed to roll a 6. In order to get out of your little home base there and get onto the floor, get around, and then you'd have to move back into another home base. but you had to roll that six. And that's where my hate comes in with this game, because if there was ever a game that I would rage quit other than Monopoly, I would rage quit Pop-O-Matic Trouble, because just you could not get that six 20 times and I still haven't rolled a six. That's like board flipping right there. I'm sure you've played Trouble.
Absolutely. And tell you what, I've had this exact game. I can hear the Pop-O-Matic bubble. Getting stuck in your home base is the worst part of that game. I feel like they should have given you more options to make the game flow a little bit better. But back in the day, I don't think they worried about those things as much in games as we do now, like how to make them as playable as possible. They just had the rules, and unless you made up your own rules to make the game more fun, you just had to roll with it.
Yeah. I love Trouble, but I hate Trouble. It was kind of like Parcheesi, and where you got to get out of your home base, you got to go around the board and then back up into another little safe area, and people could land on you and send you back home, and then you're stuck until you roll another six. But at least in Parcheesi, you're rolling two dice and you have to roll a five in order to get out, and your odds of rolling a five are far greater because of two dice, because you could use a combo of the two dice to get five, or at least a 50% chance of one of the dice rolling a five to get you out. In Trouble, you only have one dice. That's it. Your chances for getting that six are much more slim than rolling that five in Parcheesi. So, as a matter of fact, in other countries, the game wasn't called Trouble. It was called Frustration, which I think is a much more apt name for it, much more appropriate name.
Absolutely.
Frustration? Yeah. And then I think in the late 80s, there was another version of Trouble. There's now tons of versions of Trouble because of like they'll theme them for Disney or Marvel. I think I've even come across a Disney Cars version. They're a lot cheaper made nowadays. But I think in 1987, there was a double Trouble where you had two Pop-O-Matics and a double lane to go around. And I didn't even want to mess with that. Forget that. One lane was enough. All right. What do you got next?
All right. I figure this is probably our last time around. So I'm not going to go with my favorite, but I think I'm going to go with the most memorable here. Jim, did you ever play a game called Ping Pong?
Did you just say Ping Pong?
Yes, Ping Pong.
Now, I've heard of Pass the Pigs. Is this the same as Pass the Pigs? Ping Pong?
No, this is its own unique game. All right, so let me explain how this game works. It's played on a table. It comes, I think Parker Brothers made it, so it's from a board game company. And in the box, there comes this little plastic net. It looks like a ping pong net. And then it has four squeezable pigs that you squeeze them and air comes out their snout. And then it has this foam ball that you build. You have to connect two pieces. And what you would do is you'd have one person on one side of the table, another person on the other side. You blow the ball up in the air with your squeezable pig, and you try and blow it over to the other side of the net. Now, the person on the other side, they're using their pig, and they're squeeze it, trying to get this foamish ball to land on the other side. So basically, it's like ping pong, except you can go back and forth without the ball landing for minutes, or until you get carpal tunnel from squeezing these pigs.
When the farmer goes in at the end of the day, the pigs get together and they all play ping pong.
You can play it all day long.
Ping pong.
Everybody come along.
Represent ping pong. It's wild, it's fast, it's funny, it's a hit. You just can't get enough of it. Ping pong.
You can play it all day long.
Ping pong.
Everybody come along. Ping pong. Ping pong.
From Milton Bradley.
You can play it all day long.
I love this game. It is a lot of fun. You could play with four people. So, I mean, you're around this table, you're bumping into each other, you're squeezing the pigs in people's faces, but it is a ton of fun. It is very interactive and excellent to play.
That sounds like a riot.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable.
That is a cool game. I've never heard of it. So what was that? Ping pong? Okay.
Ping pong.
I need to look that up as well, because I need to see a video of how that's played.
Yeah, you need to look this up and see if you can get the soundtrack on there.
Absolutely. All right, so you've got Ping Pong. Here I go. I'm going to break the rules a little bit as far as board games go. Here we go. 54 wooden blocks stacked alternating. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know.
Jenga. Not necessarily a board game, but kind of a board game. You can get 2 to 4 players on this thing. And wow. When Jenga came out in the 80s, I feel like it all of a sudden became a requirement for everybody to have Jenga. Like if you went to a party and you didn't pull out Jenga, somebody was going to request Jenga. So you better have had Jenga. And I think Jenga just is so much fun because it's different. Every time you play it, it's different with whoever you play it with. That it's a genius game when you think about it. An incredibly simple genius game.
Hey, Frank, what are you doing?
Playing Jenga.
Yeah, how do you play?
You take a piece from the bottom and you put it on the top.
Hello, Jenga. Jenga? Hello?
What are you doing?
That's the way I picked my piece.
Frank, I'm a little worried. I'm worried about all of you.
Jenga. Jenga.
Let me try this. This Jenga stuff is simple if you know what you're doing.
Great.
The night is young.
Yeah.
Jenga, anyone?
Jenga. Once you touch it, you can't keep your hands off it.
I think my favorite version of it has probably came about in the last like 15 years. That giant version that you see, like that you can play outside in the grass. That's just fun.
Yeah. Well, I love this game. I love the tabletop version. I love the outdoor version. Jim, let me ask you a question. Do you have a specific Jenga strategy? How do you play the game?
I mean, I'm really dirty. I really try and take those edge pieces off as much as possible. I want it stacked very like unevenly. Like when I'm done, I want somebody else to like, I want it to go down. And you know what? Even losing is fun. So yeah, that's my strategy, is knock those edge pieces off. You, what do you got?
Oh, I'm the same thing. I'm taking from the bottom from the start. I'm putting the pressure on my opponent from the very beginning of the game. We're going to make that thing wobble as much as you can. I believe in my ability and my skill. I'm going to see if my opponent believes the same way.
That's amazing. I love Jenga. All right. We have to play Jenga soon. That'll be fun. I mean, I know I have Jenga. I'm going to pull it out now, probably tell my family, let's go. I'm going to destroy you all. All right, George, this has been like a wild, like fast ride, like of just board games. And I have so much more to say about so many more board games.
I know. I got like 10 more on my list I'm just itching to talk about, but oh well.
Yeah, no, it's, oh, we will. We will. I think part two is definitely coming very soon. But in the meantime, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I think we're going to have you on very soon, and we will talk some more board games, man. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome.
George, I'll catch you later.
All right, man.
Peace, buddy.
Peace.
Big thanks again to my buddy George for coming on here and talking board games with us. Obviously, this is a huge topic. Tons of games out there. What did you think about our choices in this episode? Did we jog any memories? Is there one that you thought maybe should have been mentioned, would like to get mentioned? Hit me up in the comments on Instagram at BusySignalCast. I'm definitely thinking, like I mentioned before, this episode has merits for a second and third, maybe even a fourth part to this. Absolutely. There's a lot to cover. We have barely scratched the surface in board games, that's for sure. And just like I thank George, thank you for listening. This one was really fun. It brought back some really cool memories, and I learned about some games that I'd never even heard of. So that was fun. Just so you know, I've got most of the spring and summer planned out as far as the episodes go. I am really excited about the themes that we've got for these episodes and the occasional special guests as well. Once again, thank you very much for listening. And as always, you can listen to The Busy Signal everywhere quality podcasts are streamed. Hit the subscribe button to have a new episode delivered directly to your favorite device every other Friday. And if you really enjoy the show, leave a positive review. I don't know what that does, but would this be a real podcast if I didn't ask for that? You can also head over to Instagram and follow the show at Busy Signal Cast for even more retrostalgic content. I share a good amount of stuff that isn't mentioned on the episodes. And while you're there, say hi in the comments. And until next time, remember, reach out and touch the past.